Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby, sticky seats with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from a remote locale, as you could probably tell by this point because there's no audience noise. It's Wednesday, November 10th, 2010, and we got kicked out of UCB for a week, but as usual, we're still giving you a show so that no matter what happens, you can't bitch about it. Well, you can, but it'll just make me go, "Err." I had a great time in St. Louis on last couple of days, just got back. Lots of name tags in the crowd at the Funny Bone. We had some Leonard Maltin fun. And I'm looking forward to shows coming up at the Improv in L.A., Hyenas in Dallas, and the Improv in Tampa, Florida. Thanks to everyone who watched the premiere of The Benson Interruption last Friday. The next episode will air for the first time tonight and features Eugene Merman, Rob Hubel, and Mary Lynn Ricecub. And then it'll rerun at some crazy hour, I think, on Monday night at 2:30 a.m. If you're a Monday morning commute Doug Loves Movies listener. And, yeah, and I haven't seen any movies, so I have nothing to say necessarily about any movies that are out right now because I've just been too busy to go to any. But I will tell you about who my guests are. We are recording this in the Never Not Funny Studios, NNF Studios, where another podcast is also recorded called Bear Down, which we'll learn a little bit about that in a second. And that podcast features Matt Walsh and Joe Nunez and Matt Belknap, producer of Doug Loves Movies and Bear Down, is here to join us as well. And Never Not Funny.
Yeah.
And then you've got Greg Proops.
Yeah.
Smartest man in the world.
Thank you for plugging that. Yeah, that's a new show that we're doing with AST Records. If you like Greg Proops, check that out on iTunes.
Even if you don't, check it out.
Give it a try.
I hate that guy, but I'm going to give it a listen.
Yeah,
because you like everything else that comes from that. Now, I was surprised that, Matt, that you have a podcast.
Yes.
Because you've never asked me to do it, and that's probably because I know nothing about the Bears.
Would you do my podcast?
Wouldn't I be annoying just sitting there going, I know nothing about this?
You could play a character. We have a lot of characters who come
in. Oh, okay.
A
character doesn't know anything.
Consider yourself booked.
But it's called Bear Down.
BearDownPodcast.com.
And it's only during the football season?
That's correct. We follow Chicago Bears. It's four quarters. The first quarter is football, and then the other three quarters are pretty much straight-up comedy.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. And Joe is a frequent guest or was just a guest today?
Co-host.
Well, see.
One of the four.
See what I know?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's
one
a good
of four
get.
Co-hosts?
Yes.
It's a busy podcast.
There's like five of you in every episode?
Yeah. The breakdown is RJ, who over there is our...
He's hanging out.
He's a pretend venture capitalist, and he kind of runs the board and chips in. And Joe is the voice for the commercials and color. And I sort of started off, and Scott is sort of the analyst. Scott Armstrong.
Scott Armstrong, screenwriter, couldn't be here today. He apologizes.
That's not. Yeah, you told me he might stick around for this, but
yeah, he had a meeting.
He kept bragging about some meeting.
He was very.
Like, that's a hard thing to get in L.A.
Yeah,
I have a meeting.
What? Okay, you're in The Hangover, right, Matt?
Yes, I am.
And, but there's no way to work your character in Hangover 2, is there?
No, the
and
only.
They don't want to put you like in a wig as a different guy or something.
No, I'd have to be the same guy, and the doctor does not go to Thailand. I think they're going to Thailand, and Dr. Ken will be in The Hangover 2.
Oh, okay. But did jumping out of a trunk in another...
I would imagine he might show some skin.
But so my question about Hangover 2 that I would have asked Scott if he were here, and Scott would just one T, right?
Yeah.
That's weird. And if he were here, I would have asked him, why do you have a weird spelling of Scott? And how does a Hangover 2 work? They get hungover again and don't remember stuff?
I don't know anything about the story.
You know what I mean?
I really
like,
don't.
Because sequels drive me crazy in that they just go, well, work the first time, and it's still, you know, and it's still called Hangover is in the title, I guess, so like they got to get hungover again.
Another one of those guys could be getting married, maybe? Or
well, I, there's my three guess guys left. Would be the same guy goes missing,
yeah.
Would be my guess. The same guy has to go missing, and for some reason they're partying in Thailand. That would be my guess.
Yeah, they're in Thailand this time around.
Yeah, so, crazy. Okay.
Do you say that because you think that guy was the weak link in the cast and they can't?
No, that's the story. I'm not saying that at all.
Are you, why do you hate Justin Bartha? Who doesn't love Justin Bartha?
I wasn't saying it.
National Treasure 1 and 2?
I felt like you were sort of implying.
Wait a minute. No, I'm saying in the sequel world, that would be the logical sequel. Mm-hmm. Like you just stick to the basic points.
Right.
I saw him in Lend Me a Tenor a few months back with Tony Shalhoub.
Was it good?
It was really good. It started slow.
Can he sing?
Yeah, well, yeah, he can sing.
Well, it's not a musical. It's like a slapstick comedy.
It is, but there's some opera. There's singing in it.
But like Anthony LaPaglia is in it, and he says he never sang a day in his life until he did that show.
Right,
so they just taught him.
He doesn't have to sing much.
Yeah, yeah, I hope not. But it's not a musical. It's about opera. It's about opera people, but there's a lot of confusion and mix-ups and slamming doors and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Farcical.
Yeah, yeah. It was directed by Stanley Tucci.
Really?
And yeah.
It's
I know more about Broadway shows than I should.
You do love theater.
I do.
Is it New York or is it out here in
LA? It's in New York and it's done, I think.
I think it's
finished.
The run is over, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it. But Patton Oswalt texted me today or emailed me saying that next time I'm in New York, I have to see La Bette. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Hmm. It's with David Hyde Pierce and
he's good.
And this guy, Mark Rylance, from he's British, but he's. I saw him in a play called Boeing, a comedy a couple years ago, and he was hilarious. So I imagine if Patton says it's good, it must be good.
Yeah.
What do you like more? Would you love more movies or theater?
well, movies are my first love.
Okay.
but I've always liked theater because, like, as a kid growing up in San Diego, my high school drama teacher would make us go see plays for extra credit.
Oh.
And, you know, we'd like Usher, you know, we get a job as an usher for a day and then you get to sit in an empty seat and watch a play. So I saw so many plays over a few years period of time. Cool. And I really fell in love with the fact that to me, there's nothing, the thing that the live theater trumps movies in that to me, there's nothing better when it's good. You know, but when it's bad, there's nothing worse.
Yeah.
There's nothing more boring or annoying than a play that's not engaging and that you're not enjoying. Yeah. So I'm always looking for every once in a while I'll see a Broadway show that I hate. But
I feel that way about country music. There's nothing better than really good country music, but there's nothing worse than really bad country music.
It's a thin line.
Yeah.
So Hangover 2, that'll be interesting. And thanks, Scott Armstrong, for not sticking around. To answer my probing question about
it. He had a meeting.
Yeah.
Maybe about
Hangover
2.
It's probably a Hangover 2 meeting.
Can I just mention, here's a little trivia. Matt Walsh trivia. Matt Walsh has been in
Todd Phillips movie?
Yes. Todd Armstrong movie.
Todd Phillips.
Well, you might as well call him a Todd Armstrong movie because he writes him and he directs him. But he did not, Scott did not write Due Date.
No.
But you are in Due Date.
I am in Due Date.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What are you doing that? I haven't seen it yet.
I play an air traffic, a TSA officer who tells Robert Downey he can't. He's on the no-fly list.
Oh, I read for that part.
You what?
I read for that. Apparently you got
it. Did you?
I didn't know you got that. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
This is awkward.
Wow, sorry. That's rough.
Should we start over? It's so uncomfortable.
I didn't take that job from you.
No, you just took it from a Latino.
It's cool. You kept yourself from getting that. You're not going to find security in that pizza, Joe.
I feel like, is it wrong to say that maybe a Latino would have been more believable in that role?
Yeah.
That's wrong to say that?
It was actually written for us.
Oh, so I'm right.
Or a black dude.
So this is like... Yeah.
Which airport is it?
I believe Atlanta.
Yeah, that's exclusively black and Latino in the TSA department.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Meadows should have played that, not you.
You should really feel bad about what you've done.
I would have been happy if Tim Meadows or yourself would have played it.
So why is Robert Downey Jr. on the no-fly list? Does he have, is his character have a crazy name or something?
That guy, Zach Galifianakis, starts a conversation with him, and they mention the word terrorist and bombs, and Downey's like, don't say those words, and then they somehow keep repeating them. He's like, just stop saying that.
Right,
and next
right.
thing you know, an air marshal hears it, or the stewardess hears it, and next thing you know, an air marshal appears in an incident, and then you cut to me telling him, here's your phone, and you're not flying.
Nice.
Did you get to go to the premiere?
I did. It was fun.
You should practically say, you're not flying because if you flew, then the premise of this movie's ruined.
I'm forcing you to get in the car with Zach Galifianakis.
It's about two guys driving across the country. Because I've read a review or two that has said that that's a little, you know, they go out of their way to make that happen. You know, get them have to drive across the country.
It's a funny movie.
It's like, who cares how it happens?
Yeah.
Like, that's what drives me crazy about a lot of movies think you need a lot more backstory and build up to the thing happening than you really need. That's what's great about The Hangover. It's sort of like they all wake up and the story starts. Yeah. Like, well, where are we? What happened?
But they had the mystery. I think the mystery of finding clues is smart about The Hangover. It does work as a story. Like, here's another clue, and then you reveal another clue.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I wonder how it would work in a sequel, because, like, Men in Black 2 was one of the worst things ever, because it was about Will Smith having to convince Tommy Lee Jones to be an agent again after he had retired and also had been, had the wand waved in front of his face so he couldn't remember anything, and I was just sitting there watching it going, really? That's what they came up with for the sequel, is, like... basically just a reverse of what happened in the first movie.
We're but putting the band back together.
But there's
together.
No reason for it. Yeah, oh, that drives me nuts, too.
Yeah. Reunion.
The scene after scene of, like, well, we know that you're going to get the band back together, right. So why not have one scene where you
That's
all
That's what
meet?
Red is, right? That movie Red is putting the band back together.
Yeah, but Bruce Willis goes around to each person, and it's just like... I didn't like that movie overall. So
MacGruber had a funny montage of getting the band back together. At the beginning.
I love that.
Did
movie.
You see that?
Well, he gets everybody together, funny. And don't they all? Spoiler alert! Die right away.
They blind up.
Yeah, yeah. That's really funny. That movie's got a lot of funny stuff in it. I've said this on the podcast before. If you haven't seen MacGruber, give it a try.
Yeah.
If you're super against scatological or violent humor.
Or homosexual humor.
Yeah, homosexual humor, or you mean homophobic?
Homophobic. Homophobic.
Because I love homosexual humor.
Yeah.
Like,
then
I
you
love
would hate this.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. But, but just check it out. Just give it a try, because it's more stylish and funny than anyone has given it credit
Surprisingly
for.
Funny. Like, really funny. I agree.
Yeah, and the critics didn't really... defend it when it bombed. Everyone just piled on like, yeah, that's a stupid movie.
I was at the premiere for that, and I sat behind who's that NBC executive that just got let go?
Oh, Zucker?
Zucker.
Jeff Zucker?
Jeff Zucker.
Yeah, it rhymes with fucker. Sorry.
It does. I never thought of that.
It does, in fact.
I have a good premiere. So I was at the premiere of Undercover Brother.
Eddie Griffin.
Yeah, Eddie Griffin. And I was sitting, I think, behind Eddie Griffin, actually.
Wow.
And when it ended, I don't think I'm ruining anything by saying that movie sucked, right? Like, we all know that. So the movie ends, and Brian Grazer produced it. It's an Imagine movie, and I do some work for Imagine. That's why I was there. So the movie ends. Eddie Griffin stands up and turns around and goes, Brian, you did it again.
Wow.
And I like that, because that is kind of ambiguous. Like, he could be saying... yay, you did
another
piece of shit from Ryan Grace. Right. It's like, it doesn't, it's not, he's not committing to an opinion one way or the other. It's just kind of like, you did it. You made a movie.
I think that's 100% spinning that.
Oh, he's, yeah, he was trying to feel good about himself.
Yeah, everyone should be really proud of what they did.
What else are you going to say to premiere? You have to.
Yeah, you have
everybody.
To be excited about it. And it was in the that Universal City Walk multiplex. It wasn't even like in a big theater, so that was kind of a
bummer. One thing you could do is just get up and leave. You don't have to make it a proclamation to the whole audience that we nailed it or whatever.
He felt he had to.
I wasn't there, but a friend of mine went to the premiere of that horrible Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd movie, Spies Like Us, that people remember fondly for some reason. But I
don't like.
I
that
do.
Movie.
It is so
I do not
awful.
Like that movie.
It is so awful.
I was a kid when I saw it, and I do remember it fondly because when you're 12, that's funny.
I wasn't that
doctor.
Much older, and I was like, "Boo!" But anyway, I hated a lot of comedies when I was a kid. Like I you know, thought I had taste right away or whatever. Right. But that one, the just the attempts at maybe that's part of it too, though, is that you couldn't compare it to like a Hope Crosby movie or something like that,
right.
Which is what they were trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had no reason to compare it to that.
When you're 12, anything at that point in time, anything with Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd was funny to me automatically.
Or Donna Dixon showing her tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Her that cleavage helps. Or
was even funnier was at a McCartney concert years after that, people yelling from the audience, "Spies like us." Yes.
I would love to hear that in concert.
He did the theme song?
Yes.
Party did Spies Like Us.
That was a creative high point for him.
Terrible song. McCartney's worst ever.
Right around the same time he did that duet with Michael Jackson, right? Or a couple of duets with Michael Jackson.
Those were beautiful duets, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are see, I like it all.
Really sweet songs.
I like his 80s work.
But so anyway, at the premiere of Spies Like Us, the story goes that, you know, Chevy Chase was there and Dan Aykroyd was there, but they weren't sitting anywhere near each other. And, you know, a few minutes into it, they're in the desert, right? And Chevy Chase just yells out, "Remember how hot that was, Dan?" Like at the premiere, you know, and that probably was the biggest laugh in the whole fucking movie. The rest of it was probably really embarrassing. Like, because I think if you make a comedy, I can't imagine you thinking it's great before the premiere,
you know,
and then
stinks.
Be surprised at the premiere.
You have to know.
Like, you know, and you take an opportunity to just maybe have something else to do that night or something.
That's like another Ishtar, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's another Ishtar if Ishtar actually was as crappy as people think it is. Ishtar is pretty funny.
I've never seen it.
It's got some funny stuff in it. It's the worst thing about Ishtar is that you don't buy for a second that Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty are lame, shitty songwriters. Like, what they're saying is funny. Like, if they'd had other actors in it, it would have been good. And Charles Grodin's great in it.
He's always good.
And Isabella Gianni looks hot. And, you know.
It destroyed Elaine May's career, though.
It kind of did, didn't it?
I think it was more that it was expensive for the time, right? And it did not do well. And so it was, again, like a pile on, like MacGruber. Yes. People just felt.
Ishtar was piled on big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was high stakes with the cast and everything, and they put
very
a lot
visible.
Into it. Yeah. So, like, it wasn't okay for it to just be all right. Like,
yeah, and neither one of those guys were known for their nutty comedies.
Right,
you know, so that was another thing. But even at the time, some critics were nice to it. And then, you know, now people often speak of it. Let's see what Leonard Maltin has to say about it. Let's look at my app. And
I know
see,
our friend Martha Kelly, comedian Martha Kelly, is a huge fan of it. And she's always raving
about
it. Ishtar.
Yeah.
You always agree with Maltin?
No. When we play the Leonard Maltin game later, when I give out how many stars he gives a movie, most times I say,
"Is it true he's banging Sarah Silverman?"
I do not agree.
Who?
They just made out on the night of a Too Many Stars benefit. Right. Yeah, Sarah called me right up after that. She's or texted me or something, but she was just like, "Oh, you're not going to believe this. I ended up doing a bit on the night of Too Many Stars where I make out with Leonard Maltin," and they, you know, they talked briefly about. We both know Doug Benson, so I was very excited about that.
She was when you created the Leonard Maltin game. She was one of the original.
It was her and
right?
Brian Posehn and I back when we were the kind of stand-up comics that had all day to kill.
Right.
Every day, we'd just sit around together, getting high and flipping through an old Leonard Maltin book and playing the game.
That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and then she kissed him.
Yeah. I want to
try
to
journey.
Closure.
Yeah, total full circle of life. Okay, let's see what he says about
it. So whoever's name you mentioned, you're going to be making out with them at some point in your life. Say it. Put it out there in the universe.
Natalie Portman.
There you go.
It's
going
to happen.
I'll tell you though, there's it is kind of lately I've been having these little weird dreams come true just because of
Strangely, because of Twitter. No, The Secret is awesome, but you're right. Twitter to me is The Secret. You put it out there actually for people to hear,
right?
Instead of just thinking positive energy. You know, you write stuff like on Twitter. I wrote something about the Goodyear blimp, and then someone who goes by Blimp Commander on Twitter wrote back to me and said, "Would you like to go for a ride in the Goodyear blimp?" And
oh,
so this
God.
Last weekend, I went for a ride in the Goodyear blimp. Yeah.
How cool is that?
It was so much fun. You could probably get him to do it. Anybody that's a celebrity with a Twitter account could probably get
just
him to
start
do
asking
it.
For free stuff.
Because it's all a PR thing. They fly you around for like an hour over LA. We went down to like Long Beach and flew around. But the whole time they're doing those ads on the side of the blimp. So they need to get the blimp out there, even when it's not recording a sporting event or something. And then they also put people in the blimp that they've invited, like dignitaries do it,
right.
And celebrities.
Wow.
And yeah, so the guy asked me to do it, and we kept getting, you know, the weather has to be perfect.
Yeah.
So we kept getting weather cancellations and stuff. And then also some weekends I'd be like, can I do it this weekend? They'd be like, we're going to NASCAR this weekend or whatever. So eventually I got to do it. And the craziest thing about it is when you take off and land, it goes much. It's much steeper than you'd think a blimp would go.
Oh, really?
Like it's really. It goes like pretty much practically straight up, practically straight down. And then when you land, a bunch of people run out and grab the ropes and hold it down, and it like kind of shifts around. So like when you're getting off of it, they're just like get off and run away from the blimp.
Oh my God!
Because there's still rotating propellers to try to keep it to stabilize.
Doesn't
it.
Sound safe.
Yeah, yeah. But it was so much fun. But that came true because of Twitter. And then also. Because of Twitter and this podcast, because I've been talking up Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Have you
love that
seen
movie.
It yet?
Love that movie.
Never. Yes. I didn't see it.
Great smart. Movie.
Check it out, Joe.
All right.
But the director, Edgar Wright, great director, three great movies, in my opinion, yeah. and a good TV show.
Spaced?
Space is awesome. He, heard me talking up Scott Pilgrim on the podcast, like listen to the podcast, and then wrote on Twitter, thanks for the nice words.
Oh.
And then I wrote back to him on Twitter. And then next thing I know, I've like hung out with him and stuff. This weekend, we're doing two midnight screenings of Scott Pilgrim at the New Beverly, where me and Edgar Wright are going to play the Leonard Maltin game at the screenings.
Nice.
No way, this weekend?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Awesome.
I met him at a signing of the Spaced box set, like the DVD,
yes. yeah,
with Simon Pegg and like the other cast members of the main cast,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was really cool because you know he looked at me for a while and he recognized me from something I did in a movie and then I saw him at a Halloween party at I'm name dropping.
Which movie did he recognize you from?
Superbad.
The liquor store?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
The liquor store. The Fuck My Life thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw him another time later.
He's like such a cinephile and really remembers everything. Like he's a genius.
He's really cool.
He's probably listening to this right now, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you were at a Halloween party.
Oh, and then I saw
what
him.
What was he dressed up as?
He was dressed up as a famous
British director?
No. As
Alfred Hitchcock?
American Werewolf in London.
Nice.
The main guy. Again, I'm bad with names. Oh,
pre-transformation
boy.
Or post-transformation?
Yeah, I actually forget. What was
Naughton
that?
Naughton or Griffin Dunn?
I think Griffin Dunn. He was dressed up as Griffin Dunn.
Yeah,
I love that.
Because Griffin Dunn had those different stages of being more and more dead.
This was at Drew Barrymore's
Dude,
Halloween.
Take it easy on the names.
And I did meet...
Oh, my God.
I did meet Natalie Portman at that party.
Well, I've met her, too, and that
she's lovely.
Nothing better has ever happened to me.
Oh, she's very beautiful.
Oh, my God.
She came out one time to see... She loves Sarah Silverman, so she came to one of Sarah's shows. And
you were in it?
I didn't open for her that night. I was just hanging out, but I got to meet her, and it was neat.
Yeah?
So, Natalie, if you're listening, this is Joe Nunez.
I'm sure she is.
Bear Down Podcast.
He was in Superbad. You remember
Black
him
Swan.
From the...
Her movie Black Swan. She's incredible in it, but it's really, I did not enjoy watching it at all.
The ballet movie?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty
well. Because one, it's a lot of ballet, so I'm already like, whatever. And she seems, you know, good at it or whatever. She seems like she committed to it. But also, it's just really, it's like kind of violent and weird, and it's a trippy movie.
Yeah,
like it should be called Requiem for a Ballet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
dark.
Well, it's really dark, and just also it's really flashy. But the one thing that Aronofsky does again that's interesting is the holdover from The Wrestler is there's constantly shots of the characters, and specifically Natalie Portman, walking through long tracking walking around
shots
like he
signature.
Did a lot with Mickey Rourke
right.
in The Wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be reminded of the wrestler while watching.
She does
movie.
A cage match.
No, 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 she doesn't do that. Oh, yeah. But anyway, it's a interesting movie.
Does Todd Barry play like a venue owner?
No, no.
A ballet owner?
Todd Barry is not in it.
He's actually another ballerina.
I love that.
He was so great in The Wrestler. I loved him in that. All right, really quickly, because we're like already like pressed for time.
Chatting away.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, this is going good. But
wait, you were going to look something up. What happened?
Oh, yeah, I was going to look up
the review of Ishtar.
Yes, I get distracted. For anyone who's listening, we're taping this right now. It's 4:50 in the afternoon, so you can only imagine.
For those of you playing at home?
How high I am.
With a studio audience.
He gives it 2 stars.
Okay. 2 stars? Okay.
Studio audience named RJ. he gave it 2 stars, so he didn't love it. He says the Heaven's Gate of movie comedies made headlines.
Oh, that's too hard, right? That's too hard.
I like Heaven's Gate, too.
I love it. It
made headlines because of its huge expense and costly delays, but the only thing wrong with it is that it isn't very funny.
No.
Yeah, but, you know, I always disagree with him. I'd give it 2.5 or 3, maybe. Probably 2.5. But, you know,
I need
close.
To see that. Like, that's something that ever since Martha Kelly told me she loved it, I've been like, I gotta see this.
You're not gonna love it, but it is pretty funny.
I think that's...
It is pretty funny. Especially if you imagine other people playing the leads.
Okay.
Well, it's notorious. It's probably worth seeing just to know what
everyone's
talking
about. Is it good remake?
Warren
fodder?
Beatty trying to play like nebbishy and stupid and not handsome.
What are they?
Like,
they're like writers, right?
So
what are they?
Lame. They're songwriters.
Songwriters.
So they sit around
that's
writing
weird.
Songs together. And so what they're saying is really funny, but it's... You know, it's those guys.
You don't buy it.
But yeah, that's bad casting, I think. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to see it. I changed my mind.
Okay. Yeah, don't check it out.
Thanks for
whatever
clearing it up for me.
But let's see. What else did I want to ask about? Oh, quickly, Joe.
Yeah.
According to IMDb, I mean, you've been in a bunch of stuff, but my favorite is Melvin Goes to Dinner.
Oh,
it says
Mike Blinden.
It says, but it lists it. All, usually, don't list extra work on your IMDb page, but it lists it for you, and it says extra.
I didn't even put that one on there. Someone else did.
Yeah, that's what I mean. People just throw stuff on there. Like
I did have a scene dialogue with Jack Black in the Jack Black scene.
Name dropper.
Yeah,
name dropper.
And Bob Odenkirk got directing.
Cut. I don't even remember Jack Black being in Melvin Goes to Dinner.
Yeah, no. He plays this crazy guy, and there's a scene. Where they're in like in a mental ward, like a clinic or something.
Hmm.
It's in there.
I thought the whole movie was about dinner.
The whole movie's a dinner, but then they flash back, right?
They have a couple different. You see David Cross, Maura Tierney, different people, but basically it's 4 people having a dinner conversation. But it's directed by,
Bob Odenkirk.
Or
did Blyden direct
it? Blyden directed it.
No, Blyden wrote it.
Blyden wrote it,
and then he directed the play, and then Bob directed the movie.
Bob directed the movie.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And
that was cool.
Yeah, and then of course Blyden went on to direct Super High Me, and now he does
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, now he does
Jimmy Fallon.
Same.
the old Conan studio.
He does Jimmy Fallon's filmed bits.
Right.
He does, and they're always really good.
Yeah.
So he's doing good work, and he's in New York, and we wish him well. He was a guest on the first season of Doug Loves Movies when it was called I Love Movies, and it was only half an hour, and he and I got crazy high because it was during making of Super High Me.
Right.
And it's a notoriously terrible episode.
Yeah, that was an interesting time.
A lot of dead air?
Just a lot of, and you know, like, and just also, back then it was me and a guest, and I quickly learned that having more comedians on makes for a livelier and more fun podcast. But coming very soon, you're going to get to hear the old ones.
Yeah.
And listen to and go, wow, this used to be shit.
Later this month, if you will keep your eye on DougLovesMovies.com. You will see the first season up for sale over there.
Yeah, and I'll specifically mention it when we get to the when we get to the date. But I want to get into the Leonard Maltin game because we're pressed for time. Someone has to go see a kid's soccer game or something.
Swimming lesson at the YMCA.
Oh, okay.
I was here at 4, guys.
No, I was 2. We, you know, it was a lot going on. You guys had to do a bear down, and then
it was a busy day.
Yeah,
it's
a busy day in podcast land.
I'm not. Do you have any idea what time we started, Matt?
28 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is good.
Good.
So people get a normal length podcast if we finish up in the next 15 minutes or so.
Sure.
All right.
And we'll play a exciting round of the Leonard Maltin game. Now, Joe was, you know, brought on board for this because he's part of the Bear Down podcast. We were meeting for the first time, but so far,
lovely,
I find you to be absolutely delightful.
Thank you.
And
how am I doing? Okay.
You know, you know how you and I have a spotty history.
I'm a little dry.
And
I'm a little dry. I'll pick it up though.
Let me have my moment, Matt. Please.
Sorry.
Please. Thank you.
I met.
You've already brought so much more interesting information to the podcast.
I met Evel Knievel once.
Oh, that's a good
How'd that work out? Because Blaine Kapach met him once in a bar in Vegas, and Evel hit on him.
I heard that. No, he did not hit on me.
He did not hit
on you. I played
golf. So you're not attractive enough.
I guess that's
But Blaine's a really skinny dude. Well, or he was drunk or something.
He's dapper, too. Blaine is dapper.
You think?
Yeah. I would call him dapper.
Yeah, he's a skinny young man. So that if Evel was gay, that's what he was into.
Skinny tall, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. But I love that story whenever Blaine
if Evel was gay, that's a great statement.
that's a great movie.
Yeah, that's your poster.
Evel was gay.
Evel is gay, but in the... What'd you guys think about that whole thing where... There's a scene in that trailer with Vince Vaughn where he says gay, but not in a dumb way. Yeah, gay, not in a gay way, but in a bad way. Like that's a character speaking in a way that's a colloquialism that everybody uses, even though it's not right, it's inappropriate. It's still amazing how pounced on they got for that, and then also that they had to pull it. Yeah. If it had just been in the movie and not in the trailer, probably no one would have said a word, because the movie's probably about a guy who's very offensive about a lot of things he says. He's probably one of those straight shooters that says a lot of shit.
That's another thing I worked on for Imagine. That's a Ron Howard movie, so I know the script. And it's a Vince Vaughn character. He's very much like Vince Vaughn.
He's cocky and he's a douche and he learns his lesson by the end.
Right.
I mean, nobody teaches him to stop saying things are gay, but he learns some sort of lesson.
I think maybe the problem, I don't know, but it seems like that certain movies can do that. And it's like no one even notices, but like if a high profile like Ron Howard movie
and putting it in the trailer,
that was the mistake. I think in the movie itself, no one would have even thought twice. Because like when you're in the scene, you're like, okay, he's pitching to a car company, and it's very testosterone filled.
You know, for awareness' sake, instead of saying that's gay, he should have said that's AIDS.
Totally.
Yeah,
that's not as offensive.
No, it's you know,
everyone thinks AIDS is terrible. So if you say oh, that idea is AIDS.
But he goes on to say, but not in a bad way.
But not in a bad way. Yeah.
He's talking about a electric hybrid car, and so it is derogatory to gays. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but it's about how that expression has come to mean something's lame as opposed to something is a homosexual person.
Right.
Retarded is the same thing.
Yeah.
People say something's retarded and it's very detached from its
original
meaning.
Yeah, and Jennifer Aniston got in trouble for saying that on Regis and Kelly. She said, I acted retarded is what she said. She didn't say I acted like a retard.
Which is
or
worse.
Or that retards are retarded. She just said I acted retarded and everybody pounced on her about it. And it still didn't help sell more tickets to that shitty sperm donor movie.
It's actually a funny word.
But I said niggardly once.
Which one?
Oh.
Wait.
Come on.
What?
Niggardly.
Yeah.
In a miserly fashion.
Look it up, people.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Put an L-Y at the end of something. Come on.
But where did you say it?
In a Scrabble game.
I get weirded out saying...
And the NAACP got wind of it.
Oh, no.
It was an online Scrabble game.
Oh, okay.
So they had the printouts of my...
RJ's laughing.
I feel weird even saying Tigger when I'm talking to my daughter about Winnie the Pooh. Like that even sounds wrong.
Oh, I don't
wrong.
Feel that. Really?
Forget the first letter.
I-G-G-R.
Just that sound is feels wrong to me.
How about bigger?
No, that's okay.
All right.
Because that's common.
If I'm at Disneyland and I see a walk around character in that costume, I do go up to him and go, Tigger, please. Boom. Okay. Speaking of animated movies, none of the categories are animated movies, but let's play the Leonard Maltin game. We'll start with Matt Belknap, producer of many podcasts and creator of EspecialThing.com.
Yes.
Which, if you wanted to ask me a question in more than 140 characters, that's a great place to go, because there's threads for the Benson interruption, for Doug Loves Movies, and just a general Q&A thread for me. So go there to EspecialThing.com, and you can find me, track me down, ask me something. Or, you know, you could just go the the other route.
Doug is one of the last.
Talk to me on Twitter.
Yeah, you're one of the last comics hanging in there on AST. Like there are a lot. There was a time when a lot of comics posted, and then they all kind of went, "Oh, I can't."
Well, now I'm sort of committed to it just because you and I work together, and also
sorry to drag you down. Yeah,
no, but it's also it is a good way to you know, have a conversation that's not limited to you know, and MySpace is completely dying because that's another way. If you write to me on MySpace, you can actually write a whole letter, and I'll write. You know, I can respond in more than 140 characters. Right. All right, we got to play this because Matt's got to go. His kids are
in the pool,
trapped in a
mud. I got to go. Some kids in the
kids
pool.
Are trapped in the mud.
I got to go. I got to go watch some of those kids swim.
You're not coming.
That's so creepy.
You're definitely not coming.
Just go.
Just follow him.
Yeah.
You're so creepy. Right?
He can't stop you from going.
I'll go get a couple Slurpees.
Just follow them on Twitter. How about that?
All right.
All right. We'll let Matt pick the first category. We've got from our good buddy Larry Zerner. He's at Zerner Law on Twitter. We've got songs in titles. So it's movies where the title of the movie is a song title.
Mm-hmm.
Then from someone named I Am Ray T on Twitter, movies that are based on actual events.
Okay.
And then from @namenotgary. So I guess his name isn't Gary.
Right.
Long titles. Movies with really long titles.
Oh, wow. Mm, yeah. I was all set to go because I love the idea of the song.
They're all
song,
fun categories.
Song as a title. But
and friends.
I'm going to go songs title because I was hoping that they would do that on the last episode. Edgar Wright, I think, had a chance at that and didn't do it. So
didn't
I'm going
to
go with that. Yeah.
All right. What was it? Edgar got something. He was amazing at. He did something.
He nailed To Live and Die. Or what was it? The Year of Living Dangerously. He got in negative.
No, To Live
two.
And Die in LA.
Was it To Live? I always get those titles mixed up. But yeah.
Everyone loved Year of Living Dangerously when it came out. I didn't like it at all. I was like, I don't want to see Linda Hunt in a movie ever again. But she was good. Okay. Do you want a movie from 86, 87, or 99? These are all in the 19s.
Song as title. I'm going to go 86, 87.
87. Okay. 2.5 stars from Leonard Maltin.
Mm-hmm.
Some would consider that generous.
Okay.
It was called something else during production.
Okay.
And then they went with the song title for a title when they realized that might help sell some tickets.
Uh-huh.
He says that one of the leads in the movie is excellent and the other one is just adequate. I'll even narrow it down for you more. He thinks the girl is excellent and the boy is just adequate.
Oh, wow. I do have a guess, but
all right. There's 6 names.
Yeah.
Start the bidding.
I'm going to go 2 names.
Wow, that's an insane bid out of the box.
Because so, I've got to either live or die on my guess.
So Matt Walsh from Old School and every other movie directed by Todd Phillips. You're in Road Trip?
Yeah.
Wow.
Name that movie.
He says name that movie. So you get the 2 names. Do you want the clues again?
Yeah. Well, no, just give me the names. I think
you can remember all that.
Yeah.
Usually people want them again, but
we're trying to get mad.
One
of
these
here.
Might help you. The 2 names are Sharon Farrell and Seth Green.
Can't Buy Me Love.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. I totally sold it.
Can't Buy Me Love. Really,
yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
You kind of knew
Dempsey.
That one though, right?
No, I well,
did you change your answer?
I was thinking of. Yeah, I thought of that as a song title movie, and then but that throws me because I think Patrick Dempsey is good in that. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah, he liked the girl, but he didn't like Patrick Dempsey. And Dempsey's huge now, and nobody's ever heard from her again.
Yeah, what was her name even?
Peterson, Amanda Peterson. She was cute.
She was cute.
Yeah.
It was called Boy Rents Girl during production, which would have still been a better title, and especially because I don't even think the song "Can't Buy Me Love" is in the movie. I don't think they could afford it.
I think it's in the end
it
credits.
Is in there?
It's in the end credits.
Oh, okay.
They ride off on the tractor on the lawnmower,
and then it plays
end.
"Can't Buy Me." Okay, yeah. Courtney Gaines was great in that, of course. And but Seth Green, I always remember him in that movie because he's in the back of a station wagon when another character like farts into it.
Yes,
and he gets a fart in his face.
Weird, weird fart joke for that movie.
He was a good kid actor. Yeah, it was a really weird joke.
You did not expect a fart joke in that movie.
Yeah, yeah,
it came right at you.
It's very watchable, but I think 2.5 stars is pretty nice.
I love the
lens part.
Who's the not Seth Green, but the friend, the redheaded friend who he. pretends like he doesn't know
him. That's Courtney Gaines.
Oh, it is?
He's also in like, Children of the Corn and a bunch of other stuff.
Love that scene where he's trying to apologize to him, Patrick Dempsey is, and he goes, "You shit on my house! You shit on my house!" Because he
did the bag of shit.
He did the bag of shit
on the doorstep. Flaming bag of shit.
When he's friends with, when the jocks are all, you know, he becomes friends with the jocks and they all, like, let's fucking get that nerd.
You shit on my house. It's like, don't piss on hospitality from Troll 2. Okay. Let's start with Joe this time. Matt has a point, and you get to pick a category. We've got today is amazing composer Ennio Morricone's birthday. So movies with a score written by Ennio Morricone. And speaking of amazing, it's also Sinbad's birthday. So we got a Sinbad category, and then a kind of a fun category, a little change of pace. In theaters now, movies that are actually in theaters as we speak.
Sinbad was the first black president, right?
I don't think so, but
okay.
Name that movie.
Yeah, he was the president of Saudi Arabia.
Which one of those categories would you like?
I'm going to do in theaters now because I'm not a Sinbad
aficionado.
Aficionado now.
Okay. Of course, I just have to pick a movie because they're all from 2010. You don't get to pick a year. All the movies that are in theater now are 2010 movies. And Leonard writes extra long reviews and doesn't give stars. So I have to pick out some clues from the review and try not to give it away.
So any movie that's been in theaters up until now?
It's in theaters as we speak.
Oh.
Okay.
And so it's super fresh.
Can I guess what theater?
No.
Arclight?
And it's hard to find things that don't give it away because he really describes exactly everything that happens. But let me see if I can cut to the last paragraph. He says that...
Oscar buzz.
He says the movie's worthwhile.
Okay. So it's a positive, even though there's no stars. He liked it. Can you tell us that?
He says it's worthwhile. Who says there's no stars?
No, you said there.
I said he doesn't rate it from one to four stars.
Yeah.
So okay. That's the other thing I'll tell you. He says it's worthwhile, but I'll also tell you that he seems to like it quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what I was.
He seems to very much like it. Okay. And there are 9 names. So you start the bidding, Joe Nunez. Do you have a
tilde
over the
second N, yeah. Nunez.
Nice.
Are you on Twitter?
Huh? Yeah.
What's your
Joseph A. Nunez.
Joseph A. Nunez, but no tilde.
No tilde on that.
You're Mr. Matt Walsh.
Mr. Matt Walsh.
At Mr. Matt Walsh, at Joseph A. Nunez,
at Matt Belknap.
And then you also probably have one for...
There's one for Never Not Funny, at Never Not Funny, and then there's at a special thing, which is just comedy news.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play the game already.
Sorry.
9 names. How many?
The plug here.
3.
He thinks he can get it in 3.
Whoa.
Matt.
Name that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
The Social Network.
Here's your 3 names.
Wow, you're going to wait for the names.
Wait for your clues.
All right, let me these names aren't going to help at all.
That was worthwhile, that movie.
These names will only tell you it's not Social Network. Because if it's, you know, Social Network had a lot of no recognizable faces in it. And these, I don't know any of these 3 people. I do know the second one. Fenton Quinn, Clemence Posey, who I think is French. And she's got a over one of the letters in her name.
Accent aigu.
And
wait, did you say 2
or
names?
Is it an umlaut?
Oh, 3. You said 3, okay.
And Norman Lennart are the 3 names. So take that for what you will, that the 3 names are not hugely known people, and it's a movie that's in theaters right now, and Lennart thought it was worthwhile and gave it a positive review. And most of the other things that I could read from this review would totally give it away. I'll say
good
something.
Clues.
As soon as you say you don't know.
What were the total? How many total cut? 9?
9 names.
Cool. Okay.
That's a big cast.
Yeah. Do you have any idea?
Fenton, for some reason, the name.
Just guess
Fenton.
Another movie that's out now.
Yeah. Something in theaters.
That's not Social Network.
The Town.
No.
Can I guess?
Wait
for a clue.
No, go ahead.
For Color Girls?
No. I don't care how many color girls are in it. No, it's the other thing I could say is I averted my eyes for a few moments.
Oh, 127 hours.
Got the message of the scene and enjoyed the rest of the picture.
Good guess.
And Leonard says about it, because there's the whole arm cutting off scene in it, which is why I don't want to see it at all. And
it's supposed to be amazing. I thought it was.
It's supposed to be a great movie. Yeah. Danny Boyle,
he's awesome.
And you know, they say he's gonna get another nomination for Best Picture and
Oscar
Director.
for for
he did
actor.
Slumdog, and yeah, and James Franco is supposedly amazing in it.
Yeah.
But the last line of Leonard's review is great. He goes, "If I can take it, anyone can." That sounds like he's reviewing a giant cock. All right, so who told him to name it? You did, so you're our winner.
Yeah.
He wins. He's got 2 points already, and that's good timing because you said you wanted to leave at 5:10, and that's what it is right now.
Oh.
So
I feel like Matt Walsh didn't really get in this game.
That's okay,
but you'll be back. You're always a great guest.
I love this show.
Fun the way you don't really add anything to the program.
Wow,
just sort of hang out, waiting to go to your kids.
In his defense, this is his third podcast.
Your kids' high-lie practice.
It's lacrosse. I have to go over to Westwood and pick him up at his lacrosse teacher's house.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug, Matt Walsh?
BearDownPodcast.com.
Check it out. So it's like it's sports, but not it's not all just
it's like
about,
a quarter of it's sports, and then 3/4 of it is just straight
just
up comedy,
having fun.
And Doug Benson will be doing it soon.
Yes, I will do it
character.
For sure. And
thank you as always.
You got any other movies in the can?
I did a movie called Queens of Country that hopefully will get into Sundance, but I don't know where you can see it.
Oh, okay.
But that's it.
And right. he directed a movie that might be in Sundance. We'll see.
Yeah, what's
we'll
that?
See.
That's The High Road.
The High Road!
Which is the name of a TV special
that
I did.
When I heard about that
he had a High Road, I wrote to him, and I already had a High Road, and he was like, oh yeah, that's great, but it's a pretty awesome title. I'm going to stick with it.
We can talk about this further.
But I do want people to know that I want people to see your movie, and I don't want them to be confused.
They may never see it. I mean, there's no distributor, so.
Well, but you're going to get it out to the world somehow.
Somehow, yeah.
Because I'm sure it's great.
It's about pun, right? Yeah.
It is about pun.
I mean, that's why we both went for that pun for the same reason.
You take the high road, I'll take the low road.
Yeah. And Joe's in it.
Yeah.
And what else have you got coming? Do you have anything else?
Yeah.
Like, there's a few things on IMDb. Okay, there goes Matt Walsh.
Yeah.
There's a few things on IMDb that say, like, in production or in post, that you're in.
I get this Johnny Depp animated feature.
Oh, wow.
Gore Verbinski directed, and it's a huge, it looks great. I mean, you can actually check it out on rangomovie.com.
That's called Rango?
Rango.
And Johnny's the voice of Rango?
Johnny's Rango.
It's like a lizard or something, right?
Yeah.
Or a gecko or something?
Yeah, he plays a lizard that gets lost in the desert, you know, domestic lizard, and his journey.
A domestic lizard out in the wild. And then, and what else? You got anything else coming up?
Oh, yeah. Did an episode of Community, which, Walsh, you just came out in.
Oh, Walsh was in it too?
In
get out of here. You're not on mic
Natalie
anymore. Shut up.
Get out of here.
He said he was at Natalie Portman's Halloween party as he shut the door.
Episode of Community coming up in a couple weeks. And then also next spring, a film, a comedy with Kristen Wiig.
Oh, the one about Bridesmaids?
Bridesmaids, yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool.
The one about Bridesmaids?
Yeah.
Yes, Bridesmaids.
It's called Bridesmaids.
Oh, that's cool. I've heard a lot of rumors about different people that were involved in that, and it sounds really fun.
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's Judd Apatow produced it, right?
Apatow produced it, and...
Nicholas Stoller directed it?
Paul Feig.
Oh, Feig. Awesome. Yeah. Paul Feig's directed tons of episodes of The Office and Freaks and Geeks. And is that his first feature?
No, he did Feig? Unaccompanied Minors.
Oh,
I
that's right.
Yeah,
oh that God. Was like was that the whole thing took place in an airport?
Yeah,
and Lewis Black came in and yelled at people every once in a while.
Right, it was kind of like Home Alone taken to the next.
It was like level. The Terminal, but without Tom Hanks and not as Terminal.
It was Home Alone meets Terminal.
It wasn't interminable.
Yeah,
I didn't see it. And Matt, what do you got to plug?
I think we already. Mentioned it all. Never Not Funny. Oh, Podcastathon 2010.
Oh, yeah.
It's November 26th. That's 12 hours live podcast video on
podcast.com. I'm participating in that this year.
Yes. We're trying to keep the guest list a secret, but I guess you just let the guest back.
Oh, but I might have other plans.
Yeah.
Something might come up.
That's the day after Thanksgiving.
I might not be able to make it. Oh, it's after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm busy. I'm shopping.
But
that day.
But we do want your listeners to know that you're going to be there. So I got to let that plug stand that you're going to be there.
Okay, good.
It's going to
be lots of surprises.
Yeah, lots of surprises.
Idea.
12 hours, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Several people from Mad Men will probably be there.
Could be. Yeah, John Hamm was there last year, and mm-hmm. Rich Sommer was there last year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jimmy's really hooked up with the Mad Men people.
Yes.
And I'm not making any promises on your behalf, but you know Jimmy does work on the Conan show.
He does work for Mr. Conan O'Brien.
We'll
That's true.
We'll see what happens
That's
there.
That's in play.
Conan might be, you know, visiting family or something for the holidays.
We do but, not know. I cannot reveal.
Okay. But I also want to mention that The Benson Interruption, if you don't get Comedy Central, is available on Amazon and Zune. And my personal favorite place to get it would be on iTunes because it's charting higher there than it is on the other places. And I want it to chart highly. And even if you don't buy it on iTunes, if you watch it on TV, please go to iTunes and find The Benson Interruption and then leave a positive comment because positive comments really help to raise your rating on iTunes, and it'll attract the attention of Comedy Central.
Hey, do that for this podcast too. While you're at it, you can review this podcast on
anything
iTunes.
I do. Go there and make a positive comment, and it will help me quite a bit. Now Matt Walsh lost and left before getting to name a shithead, but I always at the end of the show the losers or the people that, you know, when we do a live audience, the guests play for people in the audience and they get to name a shithead.
Should we let RJ name a shithead?
But since, oh, that's a good idea. Since RJ is just sitting over there off mic, who would you like me to call a shithead?
Joe.
That's good answer.
Perfect. All right.
Thanks.
As always, Joe Nunez with the tilde is the shithead.
Shithead of the day.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves